Welcome to the Dare to Multiply podcast. On this podcast, we help passionate Jesus followers become courageous, obedient disciples who impact their communities for the kingdom of God. I'm your host, Cynthia Anderson, a disciple multiplication coach and trainer. I'm going to show you how to make and multiply disciples in your area. God's got great things ahead for you. Let's dare to multiply.
Why is my Discovery Bible Study Group or my house church not thriving? It just feels like we're kind of stuck in the same place. We've been there for 6 months or a year or several years, the same people. We're just kind of stuck and not moving forward. I'm not seeing the kind of multiplication that I want to. If that's a question that you have, that is what we're going to be talking about today on the Dare to Multiply podcast. And we will be right back with that in just a moment.
Are you busy but not seeing the fruit you long for? Dissatisfied with your present level of impact on those around you? Or frustrated with traditional methods of discipleship that don't seem to be effective? If so, the Getting Started in Disciple Making Movements course may be just what you need. Inside the Getting Started program, you'll get access to a step-by-step proven approach to making and multiplying disciples. Not only will you receive 25 short and practical video teachings spread out over 6 modules, but you'll have a chance to connect with others for group coaching via our monthly Zoom calls. And even more importantly, you'll become part of a global community of like-minded people from all over the world who are passionately committed to following Jesus and impacting others around them. If you want to get unstuck and begin moving forward as a disciple who makes disciples, I encourage you to go to courses.dmmsfrontiermissions.com and sign up for this powerful program today. And now to today's episode.
Hey everyone, I am Cynthia Anderson, a disciple multiplication coach, and this is the Dare to Multiply podcast, as you have heard. And I am so excited that you decided to be here today to talk about this important issue and to listen in on this important issue of how do we get our churches, our house churches, our groups to not just survive, but to thrive and to begin to grow, to begin to multiply. And what do we do if they aren't? What are some of the problems that maybe need to be addressed or some of the diagnosis that I can give from my experience and perspective of starting house churches and house groups, helping people, coaching in this area for over 30 years? I would like to help you. I am here to help and to serve and to share some of my experiences and some of what I've seen to be the problem when groups are not growing, when they're not multiplying, they're not thriving. And I know that's our heart as leaders. Those of you who are listening to this, you're listening for a reason because you want to see multiplication. You want to dare to multiply. You want to see disciples not just grow in addition kinds of ways, but begin to see that exponential kind of growth, that multiplication kind of growth take off in your area. So why is it that groups tend to stagnate or sometimes they become very inward focused, where the focus is so much on our own community, our fellowship with one another, our friendships, our own needs as people, and we begin to focus a lot on ourselves rather than seeing the group begin to thrive as a missional community, as something that is extending itself into the world in effective ways. Well, one of the big difficulties that I've seen is, and I would say one of the things to check if that's your group, is do you have group ownership and engagement? Or is it a leader-centric group? See, a lot of times people move into a house church model or into a Discovery Bible Study model without actually shifting their mindset and changing over from a pastor-centric church, which is the prominent model that we see in the West for sure, but around the world, a pastor-centric church to a church or a group where every disciple makes disciples, where every group member feels ownership of the group, that it's their group, and every person in the group is trained to be a disciple maker, someone who could lead that kind of a group, someone who could start that kind of a group, someone who knows how to share their faith with others, lead others into a relationship with Jesus, to begin to follow the way of Jesus. And they can start groups of disciples or groups of apprentices to Jesus, as John Mark Comer talks about in his book, Practicing the Way. I love that word, by the way, apprentice to Jesus. It's a, maybe a modernized way of thinking about the concept of being a disciple. Being apprentice, learning the way of Jesus, we want to invite others into that process with us and to join us in walking on that way of Christ and learning from his ways. But the reality and the fact is that many, many Christians, whether they're in a legacy church, a more traditional church, or whether they're in a house church, many people don't know how to do that. They don't know how to invite others to follow the way of Jesus. They don't know what to do with those people once they do begin to follow Jesus, other than to bring them to the church that's existing. They don't know how or have the confidence to start their own group of disciples. So these are a lot of the important shifts that need to take place if you want to see a house church or a discovery group begin to actually multiply and grow. We have to move from a pastor-centric or a leader-facilitator-centric model to a model where there's participation and ownership. And it truly is a fellowship of believers where everyone is taking leadership. The different gifts of the Spirit are being exercised. And those who are new in faith are growing in their gifts. They're exercising their gifts. But what I've seen a lot is that pastors or Christian leaders, they may begin to use house church methodology or microchurch methodology, but it still stays kind of leader-centric. And the ownership of the group, the responsibility for the group is with someone who maybe used to be a professional or they have other characteristics or strong leadership giftings. So that's not going to multiply as rapidly. I'm not saying it'll never multiply, but it multiplies very slowly. See, as leaders and pastors and coaches and people with strong leadership gifting, we have to be very, very intentional about holding back and not exercising every spiritual gift we have in the house church so that others will have space and room to rise up and to step into those gaps. I was talking with Curtis Sargent about a different topic. And Curtis, if you know him, is somebody I've had on this podcast in one of the early episodes. He's just an amazing disciple multiplication coach and trainer around the world. But Curtis said to me, sometimes, Cynthia, I actually do things more poorly than what I'm capable of on purpose. I said, well, that's really strange. Why would you do that? And he said, sometimes I do that on purpose so that other people will think, wow, Curtis really needs help. Let me step into that gap. And he uses that kind of a strategy to actually create space for people who are just new to their giftings or to volunteer and to step into those gaps and to begin to utilize what they have to give in the group or in the organization. And I think that's so relevant and so applicable to if we want to have a thriving group, we as those with leadership giftings need to hold back. We need to close our lips, be quiet, be intentionally silent. Let those silent gaps happen so that others will step in, so that others will fill those gaps and then affirm them for whatever they tried, whatever they did. We also need to delegate more. Delegate the different aspects, the look back, the look up, the look forward. Delegate, rotate around who hosts, rotate around who facilitates the group. And as you do that, as you have a rotation of different opportunities in the group to provide leadership to different segments of what's happening in that house church, you will see greater ownership. You'll see greater enthusiasm in the group, and people will begin to feel like this is not theirs. This is mine. And so we want to trust the Holy Spirit in people and be developers of others, not just lead things ourselves just because we can. Sometimes people will surprise you when you trust them and you are willing to come alongside them to help them do something new. They might surprise you, and there are latent or undiscovered giftings within them that can greatly contribute to the health and the vitality of the group. And then, you know, as you begin to see those things, you can encourage those people, don't just attend the group here. I think you're doing a great job. You could do this same thing that you're doing here. You could do it in a new group that you start with that new person that you've been talking to about the Lord. Why don't you start a group with them? Why don't you start another micro church? Why don't you start another house church? This person, I heard about a group just the other day from my friend where someone was leaving a micro church and they were going to another part of the city and they felt like it was too long of a drive to come back and forth. And I said, well, are they going to start their own group? And the question was answered, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure they've even been encouraged to do that, right? If somebody leaves your group because of distance, commission them, train them, coach them, and let them start their own group. Encourage that kind of multiplication to happen, even if your group is still learning how to do this whole thing. But as we believe in people, as we invest in them, and as we avoid a pastor-centric or a facilitator, leader-centric group, we will see greater ownership, greater multiplication begin to happen. Again, I was in Nigeria and I noticed the same thing. Great people, but they were leading too much. They were speaking too much in the group rather than drawing out the gifts and the inspiration and the thoughts of the others in the group. Another thing that could be causing this is focusing more on Christians than focusing on the lost. Some of the best people, and I talk about that in the Multipliers Mindset book, which I just did a seminar on in a church here in Minnesota yesterday. One of the things that we talk about, one of the mindset shifts in that book is grow the gospel through new and pre-believers. Many times we focus on Christians, existing Christians, and we invite them to our house church or to our micro church or to our Discovery Bible study. And they are so excited many times to experience true community. I was just talking to someone I was coaching in Sierra Leone, and they were having a lot of different issues in their movement because they were focusing a lot on existing Christians. And those existing Christians liked a lot about what they were doing, but there were other issues that came up with loyalty to their traditional church, with traditional church pastors getting angry because they felt like they were sheep stealing, with all kinds of problems that were happening because they were focusing on existing Christians who wanted a different experience of church. And trust me, they are out there. There are a lot of people who are really tired of what they're seeing in pastor-centric, platform-centric churches, and they want something different. But see, my friends, if we focus on them, we won't see multiplication very quickly, and we will ignore. You know, I told somebody the other day, if we focus on Christians, we are actually... if we say yes to that focus on Christians, we're actually saying no to focusing on lost people because we only have 24 hours in the day, right? We are limited in the amount of time we have to give in disciple making. So are you going to put all of your disciple making and discipleship time and energy into Christians? Or are you going to put it into people who don't yet know Jesus? And as they come to faith, training them. And I really want to advocate for and encourage you, focus on the lost. Focus on those who don't know Jesus yet, and then discipling them to be disciples who make disciples. You will see much greater multiplication. They will believe what God's word says more rapidly. right? They won't have a lot of unwinding of church traditions and lots of things that they've fought for many years that you have to do before you can even begin to help them to buy into some of the participatory learning principles or church multiplication or micro-church multiplication kinds of ideas. So start with the lost. I would strongly advocate for that. Focus on the lost and disciple them and start groups among them, seeker groups that then turn into believer groups and training groups. And you will see more thriving groups and more multiplication taking place. And you know, that's what Jesus did. As we want to become more like Jesus, I'm often reminded of the story in Luke chapter 19, the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. We all know this story, I assume those who are listening, but in case you don't, it's found in Luke chapter 19. And it's the story of how Jesus was walking through a place called Jericho. And as he was walking down the road, he saw this man who was a tax collector who was short in stature, and he had climbed up into a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. There was this hunger inside of him. Though he was a sinner, he was a tax collector, he was hated by most of the people in his community, but he wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus stopped and he noticed him and he spoke to him and he said, "Come down, I'm going to go to your house today." Right? I want to talk to you. I want to be with you. And we see that Jesus didn't focus most of his time on, you know, converting the Sadducees and Pharisees to his philosophy of the way. No, he spent his time with lost people, broken people, the Mary Magdalenes, the Zacchaeus, the Matthews, and called them, "Come follow me. I want to teach you how to live." Jesus focused on the lost. And through those lost people who became his followers, he saw an incredible movement take place. And if Jesus did it that way, I want to do it that way too. It says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's what Jesus was all about. That was his mission on earth, to seek and to save the lost, the broken, those who don't yet have a religious background or any kind of affiliation. They're not already in the church. He was, or in the synagogue. He went to seek them. He went to save them, to bring them to his salvation. And that was his mission, and that needs to be our mission today. So take this as a reminder. If your house church or your group feels stagnant, it's not growing like it should, ask yourself, are we seeking to save the lost as a group? Are we focused as a group on praying for lost people who we know, people in our lives? Are we focusing our time and our energy on something that we want to see go out there? Maybe it's an equipping group. You're training, but you're training for a purpose. You're being equipped. You're growing spiritually so that you can be effective out there. You're making sure that you share the stories that you learn and the scriptures you learn. You're sharing them not just with your own family, but with lost people every week. And you're encouraging one another when you see that people are reaching out to the lost. They're prayer walking. They're praying for their neighbors who don't know Jesus. There's a spirit of encouragement towards exercising our faith to see lost people come to know Jesus and be transformed by him. If we focus on the lost like Jesus did, we're going to see greater multiplication and fruit. So I'll be right back in just a moment for some action steps and a quick recap.
Imagine a world where passionate followers of Jesus come together to multiply, transforming lives beyond imagination. Instead of toiling with little fruit, what if God's abundance flowed beyond your wildest dreams? Picture those you've invested in sharing Jesus freely, creating a ripple effect of disciple-making. In her new book, The Multiplier's Mindset, Cynthia Anderson reveals how shifting mindsets can revolutionize disciple-making. When Cynthia and her colleagues experienced these mindset shifts, they saw enormous results, including the launching of 19 multiplying movements in Africa and Asia, transforming tens of thousands of lives. This book will help you discover hidden harvesters, see church members move from passivity to passion, and release the power of simplicity in multiplying disciples. Don't remain stuck. Learn to move toward greater fruitfulness. Visit multipliersmindset.com and get your copy of The Multipliers Mindset today.
Okay, let me do a quick recap. Today we talked about why house churches or discovery groups don't grow and multiply and thrive. And two main things I talked about today was because they are too leader-centric and because they are not focused on the lost. They're focused on the group itself. So let's work on these areas this week. I want you to take a moment and think about your group and think about yourself even, especially if you are leading a house church or a group. Is there any way that you are talking too much? Any way that you're leading too much? And are there things that you could delegate to others, that you could encourage others to do within the group? Maybe sometimes you just attend and you let others lead completely. How could you move away from a leader-centric group to a group where everyone in the group feels ownership and different responsibilities and opportunities are there for others? So think that through, take some action on that. And also think about a lost person in your life that you could focus on. And as you begin to focus on your prayer and even some of your time on reaching out to them, building more relationship with them, having spiritual conversations with them, share that story in your group. That story will inspire others to do the same. God bless you guys. Go and make disciples for Jesus. Dare to multiply. And we will be back next week with another episode. Bye for now.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Dare to Multiply podcast. One thing that would really help both us and other new potential listeners is for you to rate this show and leave a comment in iTunes, on Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you tune in to listen. Also, make sure to link up with us at dmmsfrontiermissions.com/blog, on social media, and please just share this podcast with anyone you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember, God's dreams for us are always bigger than we can imagine.